OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
So you might have seen at the weekend an open letter from former Westmeath footballer John Kennellan, who is calling for essential funds to be readministered away from Dublin and towards other counties in the GEA, especially those counties struggling in Leinster at the moment. This obviously comes after Dublin dismantled Meath in the Leinster final to do the 10 in a row in the province on Saturday night. And I'm delighted to say that John Kennellan is with us now. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thanks a million for coming on. So basically, to put this into a nutshell for people who haven't seen your letter, your main concern is that the future of the Gaelic games in Leinster counties outside of Dublin is under serious and immediate threat.
Yeah, I suppose the gist of my letter, and I'd probably go one further than that, and I listened to you guys yesterday in the morning and off the ball last night as well. I think probably to say that Leinster is under threat is probably to understate it. I think the Leinster Championship at this stage, really Dublin winning 15 of the last 16, and I outlined in my letter the average winning margins of, and that's only finals, that doesn't take into account semi-finals and quarter-finals and that. Really, the Leinster Championship, if we're being honest about it, has been a non-runner for a number of years. I suppose the position we probably find ourselves in is that the All-Ireland series is possibly under threat now at this stage. Dublin obviously going for six in a row, and I suppose showing no sign of faltering. So I suppose that's probably the position we're in. I know Turlough O'Connor from Carlow tweeted me. He said maybe there's still hope for the Leinster Championship. I'm not sure I share his view until something really drastic happens. So that's really where I suppose the motivation behind my letter came from. I've seen, and I suppose I've experienced what's happened to the Leinster Championship. I took absolutely no joy in seeing what happened with Meath the other day. Now, while I absolutely accept that individual counties, Meath, Kildare, Westmeath to a lesser extent, maybe some of the former giants of Leinster need to take some responsibility as well and do more to get their house in order. I think the way the funding structures have been set up and Dublin maximising their commercial and sponsorship potential has led to a position where Dublin are entirely self-sustainable now, and really the GAA need to sit down and say, right, where can we redistribute these funds to help promote games in the smaller counties in Leinster and beyond?
So is your suggestion to take coaching and games development funding from Dublin and redistribute that between Leinster counties? Is it redistributed between the country as a whole? Or what would you propose?
Well, look, I mean, I deliberately in my letter kind of stood away, stayed away from, I suppose, making suggestions as to how to fix the problem. I think really the more immediate problem is that we need to take some action. Like county boards need to take some action and step up, and clubs as well. You know, clubs need to be bringing motions to their floor to get to county board level, to hopefully get to Congress to make changes. I suppose I obviously have my own views on what could be done. I mean, obviously with the games development funding, which is where we see the massive gap in the allocation of funding across the country between counties, Dublin are light years ahead of everybody else in terms of what they get. And I know the arguments will be made about population and young kids and the amount of young kids in schools in Dublin, and you know they're entitled to funding, but a situation that we've seen develop now in Dublin is where they receive a completely disproportionate amount of games development funding, which is to go towards coaches who can promote the games, go into schools, etc. Now, what we're seeing is, I take for instance, Kilmacud Crokes have on their website have a membership of 4,800 people, 800 members. Now, the cheapest membership in Kilmacud is €160. That's for a student. Now, the most expensive membership that they have in Kilmacud is €650 for a family membership. Now, if we just take the cheapest membership in Kilmacud with 4,800 members, that's an annual income of €768,000. Now, a club like my own in Athlone could only dream of taking in €768,000, and we're being generous to Kilmacud there. That's the lowest that they could possibly could be making from membership. Now, what we're beginning to see is that clubs like Kilmacud and other clubs, I know of definitely of at least two or three other clubs in Dublin, where they are now able to go out into the coaching workforce and employ full-time coaches off their own bat without any centrally allocated GA resources and putting it down as expenses and that kind of thing. So I know of one club that has one full-time coaching directing officer, which is partly funded by the GA. And they then have two master's qualified strength and conditioning, sports nutrition and sports science graduates who are employed on a full-time basis, completely off the bat of the club themselves, without the need for the GA resources. So my argument is that, look, the GA have done a fantastic job in promoting games. Like, we can see Dublin are just a behemoth now, and they're like, who doesn't love watching Conor Callan in full flight? I absolutely love watching the Dubs, but the tap can now be turned off. Clubs in Dublin are self-sustainable. The county board is self-sustainable. And outside of the capital, a lot of us are really struggling, really struggling. And I mean, again, as I said, we need to take responsibility for that. There possibly has been money spent in county boards across the country, not on where it should be spent, which is in coaching and games development. But we need assistance from the GA, and we need more funding, and we need more assistance in administering how our funds are spent and that we're spending them in the right way.
Because the challenge that somebody within Dublin GAA might make in this case is that the money is being spent on actually attracting new players. And again, as you say, that third development officer for that club you named there could be key in bringing new families into the GAA or attracting new people to the game who might otherwise go and play different games. But do you think that that ship has sailed a long time ago at that point, and that in terms of actually promoting GAA within Dublin, it's time for the GAA to start promoting within the rest of Leinster? And even within Dublin, I guess the point you're making there is that if you want to go out and promote the games and you want to try and attract new people to the GAA, you can still employ people to do that with their self-sufficient model.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, the ethos of the GAA is participation. It's not about building dynasties or Westmeath getting to a Leinster final. And look, I know it's about participation. It's also about amateurism. Now, what we're seeing, as I said, is clubs now in Dublin. Like, I mean, I've taken Kilmacud as an example because they're just a model to behold. You know, 4,800 members, and at a minimum, they're taking in €768,000 in membership alone. Now, they're still getting centrally allocated funds to employ GPOs, games promotion officers, and games development officers. Okay, now they have cash reserves sitting in the bank. I spoke to someone yesterday, which it could be upwards of €1 million. Like, we're down. I just know from my own experience in Athlone GA, I sit on the executive there. I mean, we're trying to pay the bills, you know. I mean, the idea of us being able to come up, the GA model is that if we can pay 50% of the salary of a GPO, that the GA will match the other 50%. The idea of us being able to come up with that, on top of everything else that we have to do in terms of fundraising, is just it's not feasible for us. A one size fits all model for Dublin clubs and regional clubs, you know, it just can't work. And obviously, I'm talking about clubs here, but obviously, this is where it has to start, is the development of young kids in the clubs. And obviously, they can go on then to be the county stars or whatever. But like, this is really where we've fallen behind, and I suppose being cut adrift is the lack of investment. Now, there has been money that has come from Croke Park which arguably hasn't been spent by county boards in the way it should have been, and we have to hold our hands up. But every club needs every county needs a John Costello, you know? Like, if we could get a central, like a GA-funded, I know there's a new operations officer who's starting his tenure in Athlone, or in Westmeath. He's only a year into the job. Remains to be seen how that will go. Hopefully he has a successful tenure. But really, we need more assistance in how we spend our money. And obviously, we need to get more, be able to take like a lot of that Dublin administered funding. I mean, they're self-sufficient. We can turn off that tap now and distribute it to where, I suppose, we're in drought down the country.
So the thing about some of the points you made about like just the general running costs of clubs down the country, I think you mentioned in your open letter as well that you had to buy your own shorts, for example, before a game in Croke Park, and you see what the Dubs get, that there is a massive gulf in what's actually available to players, how these clubs are funded. But would the games development funding actually remedy that at all? Would the games development funding not go into actually promoting the game in schools, for example, down the country? How would the siphoning off of extra funds from Dublin towards the country actually affect those sort of things, like overheads for clubs or paying for your gear, for example?
Yeah. Well, I think the point, and I suppose it attracted a lot of attention, which really, you know, maybe I could have left it out, because, you know, it's the point I was trying to make about the shorts really was that a massive expense incurred by clubs. And I think Kevin McStay touched on it as well when he there was an article I read that when he stepped away from the Roscommon job, a massive expense for clubs is kitting out their teams. I know up through the years with playing with Westmeath, we'd have started the minor championship, under 21 championship, under 16s. And we wouldn't have gotten, you know, like a tracksuit yet or anything like that. You'd just be hoping you might get a tracksuit. And I suppose the point that I was trying to make was that Dublin actually will receive offers, substantial commercial offers from various manufacturers seeking that lucrative kit supplier contract, while the rest of us have to pay for the privilege. Now, the other point then where that feeds into then as well is the other massive expense for county boards is players and management teams expenses. And we all know Dublin don't have to incur that to the same extent. So it's funny, you know, like I obviously didn't expect my open letter to get the reaction on Twitter. My intention firstly was I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to send it out to a few of the regional newspapers and see if we can get like a bit of traction, maybe prompt clubs and county boards into taking a little bit of action or bringing motions to Congress and that kind of thing. I didn't expect it to get the reaction that it got on Twitter, but it obviously resonated with a lot of people. But it's just I've gone down the rabbit hole now, like over the last 24 hours, certainly with all of the responses that I've gotten. And it's every little one you go down, there's just a small little competitive advantage that goes in Dublin's favour.
I know Anthony Moyles is standing by as well, and I just want to bring Anthony in. Anthony, I know a lot of what John is saying will, I guess, be echoed in your mind as a Meath man. And just to play devil's advocate on all this for just a second, I mean, to use the example of Kilkenny from hurling, they had that period of utter dominance, you know, which in some ways has come and gone. They had 7 of 10 All-Irelands between 2000 and 2009. Similarly, Dublin over the last 10 years, 2010 to 2019, won 7 All-Irelands. So, but then you look now and you see the Hurling Championship has the likes of Wexford, Clare, Limerick, Galway, Waterford, Tipp, all who, you know, can harbour realistic expectations of lifting Liam McCarthy at the end of the year. So, you know, in some people's perspective, this could be an era, but I guess... How do we make sure this is not just an era from Dublin's perspective, that perhaps in the next 3 or 4 years the other counties can come back and compete again, like has happened in hurling?
Well, Shane, I suppose Dublin won't want to just keep it as an era. They'll want to keep it for as long as they can. And, you know, it's up to the rest of us, I suppose, to try and bridge the gap. You know, I think... you can't really look into the future. You can't. You can't. I don't think you can compare Kilkenny's dominance to Dublin's dominance of the football championship over the last number of years. I just think, you know, Kilkenny had a special group of players, and I think probably there are some similarities in the sense of counties, very very proud counties such as Offaly and Hurling probably fell asleep at the wheel. Wexford probably did the same. Now, you won't find people who put their hand up and say, yeah, that's absolutely 100% true. They'll say the usual stuff. Oh, no, we're doing great work and we're trying our best. But Kilkenny obviously brought it to a completely new level with Cody and took a jump and a step forward. I completely agree with John's letter. It resonated because I was in the depths of depression, obviously, Saturday night. And anything that would add to my depression was something I was going to lap up. But, you know, you have a situation where... as he says, the behemoth, the juggernaut has now started. It is there. It's set. And you know, if I was in the Dublin situation, I'd be saying, well, why should we now rein it back? It's up to the rest of you guys to catch up. So John is right. There's a couple of things that need to be done. One, the centrally, you know, resourced situation with regard to the GAA needs to be balanced out. And I think you've had guys on before where they're saying they're trying to tip the balance more in favour of the other teams in Leinster. And you've probably seen that over the last 12 months or 24 months with the amount of resources and the money that gets dissipated between, say, Meath and Westmeath and Laois and Kildare, etc. So you do have a realisation there. But unfortunately now that, you know, John makes the point that the template was set a number of years ago. And, you know, hats off to Dublin. You know, back in Pat Gilroy's days, you know, and I think, John, you referenced this maybe on your Twitter page. There was a very, very good Irish Independent article where Gilroy essentially got the brightest and the smartest people in the room together. He built a business plan, essentially. He didn't look at it like this is a football team. He built a business plan around it. And he said, how are we going to get from here to there? And who do I have to put in place in those positions to get me from a situation where I'm arguably amongst the pack, not winning All-Irelands, to where I want to be the dominant force in football? And you know what? His business plan has worked, and everyone else around him has worked. He put specific people in certain areas. Here's a guy who has built a business, sold a business. He's in the middle of doing another one. Very successful businessman. And he brought all that acumen, as well as his football prowess, to the fore in the position he's in. And it worked. You know, now... You know, I flip and flop between, you know, you see some people saying, oh, Dublin has to be split in two and Dublin has to be split in four and you have to, you know, bring them back into the pack and all this different stuff. You know, the competitive side of me says, no, there has to be another way. There has to be a way that everyone else can up their game. Yes, I agree with the funding. Yes, I agree that, you know, certain things have to be, as I said, enhanced to other counties. But at the same time, Dublin are so strong now and they're such a commercial viable entity that if I was a Vodafone or an AIG or someone else, who would I want to sponsor? I'd want to sponsor the team that's going to get the most exposure. So, you know, if I was being told at a board level that the money that I'm putting into the GAA has to be sent down to wherever, all different parts of the country, I might be kind of saying, well, you know what, maybe I have better things to be doing than spending my money on this. So you have to be careful with what you wish for with regard to all of that stuff. But I certainly think, you know, caps on maybe the amount of money that you can raise from a marketing point of view, different things like that. Like, there's no denying it. Most of the Dublin players arrive to training. A lot of them have sponsored vehicles. A lot of them have different things.
But they have that down the country as well, Anthony. Sorry to interrupt, but the sponsored vehicles, this is actually just the point I want to get into. This idea of sponsored cars and gear and like nutrition and all this sort of thing. Like, I mean, there's talk about trying to roll back inter-county spending all around the country, not just in Dublin. Trying to get into the detail here of what's actually the horse that is bolted that can't be brought back. Where is that at the moment? Like, if it's in terms of actually sponsored cars and in terms of nutrition and in terms of gear, of course, like, I'm sure money could be found to actually enhance that. Is that actually going to be something that affects the competitive imbalance in Leinster? Because you touch on splitting Dublin there. It seemed to me that a couple of years ago you mentioned that, and that is a ridiculous notion. That is something that is so outlandish. It seems now that might actually be one of the only reasonable avenues to actually arrest the Leinster Championship or bring the Leinster Championship back from its death.
I don't know, Owen. You know, it may end up that way. I genuinely don't feel that The way I would look at that is I feel that that's kind of, you know, the rest of us kind of equalizing it out because we're, you know, we're it's by default, really. Okay. There are certain counties in this country that will never win All Ireland's. Okay. It's just a fact. There's a cohort of counties in this country that every year you could put them on a list and say they have a chance of winning All Ireland. Now that list has got smaller and smaller and smaller over the last 10 years. And like literally, would I even say who's the favourites for next year's All Ireland? Boom, straight away people say Dublin. They don't, like, I mean, I was listening to the boys last night and Off the Ball, and it was great talk about Cavan and Tip. And everyone kind of says it, but no one even wants to go near, oh, but they're going to meet Dublin next, because no one even wants to think about it, because everyone just says it's a given, you know? So like, I mean, people are actually even just sick about talking about the excellence of them. And John is right. Like, I mean, there's some unbelievable footballers. They're playing football. The first goal they got against me the other night was perfection. If you want to look at it, like, it's something that probably took, I don't know, maybe 50 attempts on a training field to get it right, but they got it right. There's a lot of things, I think, Owen, that outside of, right, the money and outside of the resource and outside of the population, and they're not small things, they are big things. I still think that there's areas where counties can improve. Now, I can only speak about my own county, but, you know, I look at Meath, and I spoke about this last week. You know, there is absolutely no blame to be placed on Andy McIndy's door. Okay, you might say certain things within the game, right? But, like, I mean, that may affect the game from a couple of points. But Meath came up against the greatest team that is out there at the moment. And Kildare would have been in the exact same boat if Kildare had beaten Meath. Westmeath would have been in the same boat. Laois were in that boat. You can go through all of Leinster and most of the country. Andy prepared that team as well as he can. The Meath lads are in the best physical shape I've seen them being in for years. Athletic-wise, everything else-wise, but there's still a massive gap. Now, you know, I look at it and I kind of say, okay, well, you've a couple of simple things that can be done. Meath compete really well with Dublin and the rest of the country at underage level. There's massive work being done at underage in Meath. They have seriously good development squads that stay in touch with players, that bring players in, bring players out. There's this massive amount of fellas given their time to coach and be down there in those development squads. And those development squads are showing promise. So in other words, you look at the Meath minor team this year, they bet Dublin by, I think, 10 points, okay? So you have a situation where it's going, but you know what happens after 17 in Meath? The funnel stops. The funnel is nice and wide, and then after 17, the funnel goes back in like this, because what happens is they're sent back to the club. If those players are lucky enough to be with a big club, they'll continue to develop and improve and da-da-da over their formative years of 18, 19 and 20. But if they're not, if they're with a rural club, maybe they start to go back down the queue. What happens in Dublin is the following. Those lads finish at 17. They're kept in development squads at 18 and at 19, and then they go into the under-20s and then they go on. So for the next two and a half years, they're really formative years when they're, you know, getting bigger, they're getting stronger, everything else, they're within the squad, they're within the confines of a very professional kind of situation. They're soaking up all the different things that it is to play with Dublin, to be on that team, the game plans, etc., etc. The guy went out to the Meath under 20 match this year in Parnell Park, Dublin play versus Meath. The management team for Meath were picked in December. Now, people will all point a finger and say, oh, well, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't that fault, it wasn't that fault. They were picked in December for a competition that was starting in February, right? And I know this because I got a call myself to see would I do it. Now, we're back in December again, and there's still no under-20 manager for the under-20 competition next year, right? So there's a lot of things that can, you know, that are out there that Dublin do. But there's a lot of stuff in-house that can be done as well. You know, you take the situation with a lot of the best players, and John will be testament to this. A lot of the best players have come through some of the counties like Meath, Kildare, Westmeath. They're whipped away to Australia. You know, like, I mean, we've seen Keane McBride over the years. We saw young Nash gone from Simonstown. Lads who would make a serious impact on the Meath football team, but the Australian carrot is dangling in front of them and they're gone. Now, Dublin have a guidance counsellor, a guy who would actually sit down with the people and would say, listen, meet the parents and say, listen, what's your son interested in? Is he interested in teaching? Is he interested in whatever else? Blah, blah, blah. We'll try to guide you down. And essentially, they do their best to keep the player. Like, I mean, do you think Australia came after Brian Fenton in the last 6 or 7, 8 years? Absolutely. But there wasn't even a word of it. There wasn't a whisper of it in the media to say that he ever even thought about it. Because Dublin would have just swatted it away. Not a chance. You're not getting near our best player. This guy is a guy we're going to build a team around. Except what happens in the other counties is the best players are gone. Look at Colin O'Riordan back for Tipperary. You know, so that's only two things. You know, you get into the club, and John mentioned it there. I played in Dublin, and I won championships in Meath, and I played with St. Oliver Plunkett's. And I went into Oliver Plunkett's in the mid-2000s, and I could not get over the physique and the athleticism of the players, not only in the first 15, but the next 15. You know, like I was going in and I was embarrassed. I was at the peak of my powers playing in Meath, and I remember we did a fitness test one day, and there was lads who were, you know, back 22, 23 in the panel, able to do stuff faster or longer than I was able to do. And I was kind of thinking to myself, this is banana stuff. You know, like, I mean, we were still happy in Meath to have a couple of lads overweight playing corner forward or corner back or whatever it was. And I'm back out of Meath the last 5 or 6 years. And I still see a situation where there's lots of clubs. And I heard Mike Quirk talking about it last night. They'll talk a good game, but the ambition in the club, like, is the ambition really to develop the best players in each club that can go and take on the likes of Dublin? And I really don't think you can say it. Talk is cheap. But where is the coherent plan? Where is the plan that has been put in place to bring Meath? Because, by the way, in Meath, Westmeath and everything else, this is a 10-year plan. This isn't going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. It's going to happen in 5 or 10 years. And to go back to the Kilkenny aspect, that's, I'd say, what was put in place by Wexford, and that's what has to be put in place now with the rest of us.
Just to challenge your point on the Meath underage teams there, Anthony, a lot of the debate has been about taking games development money away from Dublin and putting it into other counties. It seems that the games development up to a point in Meath has been okay, as in, if you take more money and promote the game better in Meath, it wouldn't make one iota of difference because you still have promoted the game to a batch of youngsters who are making it to minor level and succeed at minor level. What would your response to that be?
Well, I don't know enough about how much money actually goes into each county, right? So, you know, but I'm not going to talk about something that I'm not specifically au fait with. I do know that the last number of years, because I think I was on the show with you last year, Owen, when someone from the GAA came on and said the amount of money that is being moved away from Dublin. And I do know Meath have been, they've been the recipients of a large amount of funding relative to other counties over the last number of years. So it is helping. There's more GPOs, there's more Gaelic officers, as John was saying, there's more coaches and clubs, there's different stuff like that. So it is starting. And it is developing, and Meath are improving in that sense. But they need to continue. But, you know, the money and the resources is only a certain thing. Like I you could travel all around Meath, and you know what? You'll come across the best facilities. You'll come across parishes that have about 100 members, never mind 4,800 members, and they'll have a stand, they'll have an astro pitch, they'll have an unbelievable clubhouse, and they'll have no one playing the game. Like, I mean, they'll have a situation where the team is getting bet out the gate every week in, week out. So, like, where did all that money go? You know, where does all this money go? Meath is developing Park Tolchin. Great, it needs an upgrade. But there's so much stuff. I sometimes kind of cry out because I don't think it's a situation where you put it all this and everything looks nice and shines nice, like a nice big gold bar. But at the bottom and underneath, you know, you're not getting the successes. Gilroy, to go back to that, he realized, he said, okay, hold on. We're going to get everything right from the top and we're going to funnel this into the right areas that will make us better. And Gilroy, everyone else has taken that template. You go, I saw a business plan, essentially it was a business plan by Kula. I saw it about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago. And they had a 40, 50 page business plan, a booklet of what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. And they've pretty much done it. The volunteers that came in, I don't know, like, I mean, I'd like to hear what John says, but I, the amount of times I see in clubs, you know, people dropping their kids up there at 10, 12, 14 years of age, and they turn the car around, speeding nearly out the gate. You know, I see it here locally. You know, you have a situation where people should be asked in. You know, have you ever played sport before? Oh, great, you've done this, you've done that. Would you like to give us a dig out? Where do you work? I work in this company, that company. Brilliant. Would you be able to come down and maybe help us out? Like, it's everyone tying it in together. And that seems simple. But, you know, I really think that Dublin has managed to go to a situation where they're not afraid to ask. They're not afraid to ask for help. They're not afraid to get out there and say, listen, we want a community vibe. We talked about Kilmacud Crokes. I used to work with a few lads who had young lads in Kilmacud Crokes. And you'd go down on a Saturday morning, they said, and there could be 200 kids there. Like, I mean, it could be bananas. But what they did was they got every single parent who wanted to. They asked them to stay for the sessions. They asked them to get involved. They asked other parents. They used to give kids, you know, player of the training session and all this. And they built a vibe around it that people wanted to be involved with. Now, I'm not saying that other clubs around the country, of course, there's massive amount of work being done and good work. But I just think that there's the money and all of that certain stuff will go so far. There's other things that are in within people's powers, both at county board level and at club level. And like, what I would love is that in Meath, that both clubs and the county board decide, you know what, for the next 10 years, we're going to set a template. And that template is going to be to produce the best footballer for the inter-county team that can go and challenge Meath. And we're going to give whoever that manager is, we're not just going to shoot the manager every couple of years because, oh, he's not getting the results. I'm not going to just blame the players before, because they are doing their best. We're going to give them the best possible way. And what is that? Well, certainly at 17, we're not going to close the funnel. We're going to keep it open. We're going to bring as many people into this group. We're going to have development squads, maybe two or three. We're going to ask fellas to train them on off nights. We're going to get our house in order. So when we have an under 20 competition, instead of appointing the manager 2 months before, we're going to appoint him 8 months before it. And we're going to have a succession plan. And honestly, I think that's the only way. And the last thing I'll say on is, you know, I read Colm O'Rourke's article and I saw him talking about the embarrassment of the results and stuff. Like, there's a man, right, who has been around the Meath situation for years, has managed Simonstown, everything else. The county board are crying out for a man like that. Like, John, we spoke there about John Costello. John Costello basically became the MD of Gilroy's business plan. He became the managing director. He was a guy who came in and he basically said, right, you go here, you go there. We filtered out, went to all, and I know he's done a remarkable amount of work. And it's good to hear Westmead have put someone in place. That is what is required. Because, you know, if you leave it to committees and you leave it to all this, what's going to happen? Lads will get outvoted. There'll be lads looking after their own parish. There'll be jealousy. There'll be this, there'll be that, there'll be that. You need someone at top who's going to be able to make decisions aligned with where the county is going. And if Colm O'Rourke wanted to do a job, well, then that's the job for him.
Yeah, for sure. I should say as well, I know Kilmacud's been mentioned quite a lot this morning. Dave has been in touch in the comment section saying clubs in Dublin are self-sustainable. Tell them Kilmacud is not every club in Dublin, which you should just put out there. But just like as a final point, I should say, John, just on this idea that taking money away from Dublin at this point can somehow slow down the gap that has emerged in Leinster over the last 15 years. Do you think that can actually happen? Because, again, I'll put that same point to you that I put to Anthony. It definitely seems that splitting Dublin might actually be the only reasonable solution here, because they're going in only one direction. This ain't going to slow down anytime soon. You can't undevelop a county. You can't unpromote games that have already been promoted over the last 15 years.
Yeah, Owen and Anthony's made some really good points there, and if I can touch on them, I'll try. But just on your question there, Owen, I think, you may be right. You may be right. Dublin may need to be split, but I think we're slightly putting the cart before the horse here, because, I mean, to go and to say, right, we need to split Dublin into three or four, which might be the only solution 10 years down the line. Before we develop the other counties, before we give the other counties a chance to even try and bridge the gap, I think that's just slightly putting the cart before the horse. Now, ultimately, that might be what needs to happen. But I don't think, certainly, we would need to get a agreement from, I think, a large cohort of the Dublin clubs to agree to do that, which I don't think is going to happen. But before we do that, we need to develop the counties outside of Leinster. And just a couple of points that Anthony made there, which I he mentioned Kilmacud may have had 200 people down, 200 kids down on a Sunday morning. I just had a tweet sent to me yesterday where Ranelagh Gaels, who are a brand new club, I don't think they're 10 years in existence, had 248 young kids at their nursery at the weekend. Now, that's that they're not Kilmacud by any stretch of the imagination. The other really important point that Anthony made is in respect of Australia, and that's all about the incentive for young players to stick around, to stick around with Westmead, to stick around with Mead, to stick around with Loud. Kieran Byrne and Connor Nash, Ray Cannell and Connor Glass. The incentive is just not there at the moment, you know. So, like, what the one point that I would like to get across, right, and this is the whole thrust of my letter. In 2003, Dublin GA was in crisis. The GA could not act quick enough under Sean Kelly, and I commend Sean Kelly for the work he does, and I hope my letter didn't come across as anything other than, a glowing indictment of Sean Kelly and his committee's work. But they jumped to action to save GA in the capital. What we're asking for now is the same urgency in respect of saving football in the other counties, more immediately in Leinster, but further afield as well. And I know the GPA, I've probably been a bit critical of the GPA, and I know that they passed a motion at their more recent AGM to address competitive balance in our games. But, like, what I'd be asking the GPA is to really show some leadership here. I mean, they've agreed to establish a committee to look into this. I want the GPA to adopt a position. Tell us what your view is on this. Tell us, John. Let's not send it to an independent committee to form a view and to make recommendations 6 months down the line, a year down the line. We're at a position now where teams are going to start training for the Leinster Championship next year. Are we going to send the Westmead players out for another cakewalk against Dublin? It's just not fair, and action needs to be taken straight away.
John, sorry to cut that answer short. We are completely out of time. It's been a brilliant chat, and something that is definitely going to be revisited over the next little while. Just to leave you with one tweet here from John Fogarty this morning. 435 points, the aggregate difference between Dublin and their Leinster opponents in the 30 games from 2011 to 2020. The competition has been dead for quite some time now, I think, and hopefully you might have heard something today that might actually give you a little bit of hope that it can be resuscitated over the next little while. John Connellan, Anthony Moyles, it's been great listening to you and great chatting to you. Thanks a million for taking the call this morning.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Shane. Thanks, Anthony.
Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.